how you doing? Lockdown in your own homes. I hope you're well. Here's a quarantine edition of Mud Diva to give you some exercises to get through your days.
And maybe even be a better indie voice actor.
Enjoy. Hello, people. How you doing? Sarah Golding here. I thought it prudent to perhaps do an episode on things to do whilst in lockdown. Obviously, a lot of you, like myself, have had to now work from home. My freelance job ain't freelance anymore. I can't work in schools with children on the Lounger exam, so I am on the hunt for more work as a voice actor. And I wanted to just share some of my thoughts and ways into creating some funky characters with you in a little bit more detail. And I will still be releasing the other episodes as promised, but I thought this is also a useful thing for you to have and enjoy if you're not a professional voiceover artist already. So, although maybe some of these will be useful. So, first things first, I, as I said, like you, I'm on lockdown, but I'm also editing away on creative coolness like Anyone for Coffee and Parallel Worlds, and I've been involved in a few other ongoing shows like Oz 9 and so on, very randomly. So, as well as trying to find as much cool content as I can for Fiction Podcast Weekly Newsletter. So if you have any milestones for your podcast you're creating, or jobs, auditions, meetups online, then please do ping those to Fiction Podcast Weekly Newsletter. Just find it in your own search engine. I'm sure it'll pop up. In the meantime, what I have done is create myself a timetable for my weeks, like I've had to do with my kids who are also now working from home. Hooray. So these thoughts come from my head as a teacher, as an actor, as a voice actor, as a director of things that I've worked on over the years. So first things first, timetable. Now, I would suggest you don't have to keep to it as rigidly as mine. If you don't like to be restricted, set yourself 3 goals per day as to what things you want to achieve. And that can be something as simple as listening to a podcast on audio fiction, an episode of, and noting down specific characters that moved you, entertained you, that you were blown away by their voice or the quality of it. What were they doing that was amazing? Second thing, if you are going to set those goals, treat yourself to something if you hit them. Like I've just found, I'm very excited, a stash of Smarties, orange Smarties only, and obviously a Christmas present that went awry. So I'm going to be awarding myself a certain amount of Smarties for all of the things I complete today. Other sweets are available. Not in my house, though. It's the only chocolate I've got left. So on the show notes is a picture of the kind of timetable that I've set for myself this week. Essentially, it's split between writing my Mediva work, playtime with myself or my kids, take from that what you will, and working on a few other specific projects that I've got going on. I think it's really key to make sure you have playtime in there too. My days do go quite late a lot of the time. I mean, I got it going up to midnight, but essentially it does also, you know, go beyond that sometimes, and I need to try and curb that now things are slightly different. So have a little look at that timetable and perhaps divide the day up into manageable hours for you. You know, if you want to do 2 hours of something, do 2 hours of something. If you want to do 20 minutes of something, pencil that in at the same time each day. So you're at least having these routine type events happening, because I think we are creatures of habit, and having that routine taken away from us with no particular goals or, you know, coffee break at what have you time, lunch at what have you time, if that's not penciled in, it kind of, I think some of us might have a tendency to get lost, as it were. So be proactive and find some things that work for you to create a timetable for your week, and making sure you put in those breaks of fun. So some activities to do that would be really fun as a voice actor, which I do all the time, are things like listening to a podcast and immediately imitating the person speaking. Any character they do,
you instantly try and replicate.
And got the inflection. Timing. Pitch. diction and everything as close to the recorded version as you can. Did you do that? Well done. Good work there, peoples. So something also like blocking an hour out for practicing monologues is amazing. There are, I forgot the word I was going to use. I was going to use the word pubescent, but that's not the right word. There's a plethora of amazing monologue sites out there. The Monologue Archive, there's Stage Milk, there's, there's so many. I'll put some of them on the list that I can find that I've sent also to my students of drama. And hopefully you can find some groovy things to practice with. And they range from modern things to things recorded from Shakespearean times and so on. So if you're going to work on something like that, I attack it as I do with any specific character that I get when I'm cast as something. So these are my top tips as to ways into finding a groovy, fun character. Firstly, if you read it through, make notes on, firstly, the five W's. Who, what, when, where, why. Who are these people? What's happening to them? When is it happening? What era? Where is it happening to them? Is it outside? Is it inside? Is it a building? Is it a place? Is it a far-off alien commune? Why is this happening to them? What reason are they in this crazy or normal or slightly odd scenario? Key things also to think about are who or what are they reacting to, and what is their attitude to those things or people. You also need to think about accent. Does it work as a Scottish accent, or is it better as it's kind of got some coulda, woulda, shouldas, so maybe it's a kind of US voice. So think about your accent and why it might be appropriate to have a play with some different types. The age of your character is obviously key. Most of you will probably be casting as your actual age, but some folks are vocal chameleons, I guess they call them, and have a massive range of different character types. I love playing different characters, and currently I'm playing boys and people my age from all over the world, and old women, and I have pitch shifted and played old men, but that's another story. So really key things are, what age are they? Things that you need to then break down and think about are the style of the piece. If you're talking in a Victorian England kind of way, it's very different to a kick-ass Mad Max version of some kind of dystopian future, potentially. So think about the style of things and how that affects your accent, your diction, your attitude. And there's the four P's. I've already mentioned diction, which is how much you enunciate, how much you open your mouth to make sure that you are completely being understood. The pace of something. How quickly your character speaks. Maybe there's someone who's very excited, so they have to talk very quickly. Or maybe there's someone who, takes a little time to get your voice out and heard. So pace is really key. Pitch. Now, if I'm talking a little bit higher, it's making sure that I'm finding the right place for the character that I'm playing. So play with the pitch, which is your up and your down, your inflection of high and low, all your vocal range. Sing, sing. You know you've got a massive vocal range, all of you. No excuses to change and play with your pitch. Power. Now, some characters boom, don't they? And you have to step back from the microphone and make them absolutely clear on what they are going to say. Other characters, might need to be closer to the microphone because they like me whisper a little bit. So think about the power of your speech. Now, those of you just starting out, the general decent distance for a normal average speaking voice to someone you're conversing with quite close by is to stick your finger, your pinky and your thumb out as wide as you can, like the Hawaiian mahalo, hello signal. And just be about that far away from the sweet spot in your mic. And I'm sure there is amazing technical videos to show you where the sweet spot on your mic might be. So look for those. So key things are all of those, your pace, your pitch, your power, and how you use your pause. Pause is so key, I think, to believable performances of so many characters. Perhaps, yes, I know. I'm an over-actor. Okay, I'm a caricature actress. Although I would love the challenge of a dramatic part, that doesn't mean I'm slightly loopy or power-hungry. However, I do love those parts, don't you? Use of pause, I think, is underrated in audio drama. We're listening on those persons' every word. And if they pause, it can say 1,000 things. It's 1,000 trillion things said in silence or pause. Am I right? Yes, I am, I think, probably. In my experience, which is humble, and I'm just sharing it because I want to, not because I think I'm the best at it by any means. I've a long way to go. I'm teaching myself as I'm listening to what I'm saying to you, whoever you may be. Hello. You could also do exercises like finding a character you like from a TV or film show and perfecting your impression of them. Find clips, record those clips onto your phone or door or whatever you want to listen to things on, and repeat and repeat and repeat and practice those characters. So
I'm like, I do this character, which I've been trying to do for a very long time.
You know, that's, you know, you probably can't guess who that is. But I also do this one, which also is quite bad. So, you know, it's about playing with and perfecting certain impressions and whether or not those types are like my two, where they're caricatures and puppets or animals or, you know, kick-ass people from politics or sport or royalty or, you know, just basically lampoon away. Have fun trying to think about what they're doing with their pause, their pace, their pitch, their volume, their inflection, their use of pause. So have a little play with that kind of event. I think that you can set yourself a target for doing that once a week. And who knows, you could come out in the next 6 weeks with some awesome impressions. You'll be taken on by some comedy troupe. And, well, you know, you could be on the next SNL. Sadly, don't have that over here. What a shame. Yes, they're bringing a spitting image back, though, so that's exciting. I think really taking apart a performance from a film you love watching, or an audio drama you love listening to, or a TV show you love watching, right? So it might make it less appealing for you. But really watching and making notes on that one specific character you love and adore from a show that you've seen before, that takes apart what they're doing with their voice, that moves you, that makes you laugh, that makes you fall in love with them or hate them, or just be immersed in what they're saying. You know, there's some people you can watch or listen to, and they are just like, you lose yourself in those moments. And so what is it they're doing with their tone, their pitch, their pace, their pause, their inflection, their volume, their diction that really is drawing you into the story? And especially with emotion, you know, what are they doing with their voice to show that emotion? What are they doing? Yeah. Other thing I would hugely advise you to do while you've got some time is to have a listen to other people's voice reels. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So Squawk Voices is my agent. Go and have a look on their website and see if my voice reels are any good. Listen to people who are like you as well. Look at the pictures and think, are they about my age? Are they as sexy as me? They probably aren't as sexy as you, let's face it. But have a listen to what they're doing on their voice reels. What are they doing well? What impresses you? What do you think? Oh, I could do that. I'm better than that. Oh my goodness, why are they represented and I'm not? Get to it then. Rehearse. Contact people. Say, this is me. I can do this. Get them, people. So yes, just big up yourself. You know, listen to these different reels and make some notes on some people's reels as to the style of thing they're doing. Maybe they've done a certain commercial. You think, oh, my voice would suit that. Or they've done some narration of a specific book and you think, oh, I've got that one, I can do that better. So have a little look around and a hunt around the kind of material that people are using on their voice reels. You don't have to use Squawk Voices, but of course I'm going to advertise them because that's my agent and I want them to give me work because I need the money. So make notes on those voices too, okay? Think like how soft, how harsh or sharp are those voices? And start to think about the identity of your own voice if you haven't already, okay? Key things with your own voice we'll look at in a moment. But I also want you to think about perhaps having listened to enough of those voice reels, maybe, just maybe, you can use your creative time to write your own work for your own reels. Now, some people are like, I can't write, I don't know what you're talking about, Sarah. Okay, maybe that's not for you. But some people actually, if you sit down and you've had enough influence from other people's things to know the kind of hit points you're after. You know, do a pastiche of something for washing powder or something for a car dealer. You know, you've seen enough adverts in your lifetime to know the kind of style. Think about what you'd like to put your voice to and do an advert for that thing. You know, it can't hurt, surely. Have a practice. Write it. Have a practice. Record it. Listen back to it. Give yourself some notes. Ping it to me if you want. I'll have a listen. quirkyvoices@gmail.com. Ping it back. Listen back. Write your notes. Listen back. Re-record again. You know, just get it to the best you possibly can. And maybe just ping that out on your Twitter account or your social media account and say, I did this as part of my reel. What do you think, people? Would you buy this? You know, and just get people to perhaps lay bare on how good or be prepared for how bad people think your work is. Now, I know we all hate criticism. I'm coping with that daily. You know, we all do, all the time. Not just voice work, everything. So be prepared if you're going to do that. Yes, you might possibly get some negative, what feels like negative feedback, but actually twist it, turn it around, turn it into positive criticism. Okay, well, this person feels that. Maybe they're the only person that feels that, yeah? Or maybe, oh, okay, maybe there is something I can look at and try again, if you can be asked, if you feel it necessary, because that person might just be a troll and horrid. So I'd say you just have to weigh up your own thoughts on that, don't you, really? It's like, take each situation as it comes. Now, another way of also utilising this time wisely is to get your own website up and running. And there are plenty of different sites. And I did an episode with the wonderful Joe Dickey on websites. So have a look back at that if that's something you need help or guidance with. I'm on Weebly.com. It's a free one. So, you know, I ain't got money right now. So free ones is all good. But you can also do them on, I don't know, Squarespace, Wix, suddenly forgotten every single other one I was thinking of, but there are lots out there, so just use your search engine to find something to create your own website on. Have a look at other people's, yeah, look up other voice actors. Where have they got their site from? What are they doing with it? I'm sure you've heard of and have at least looked up one or two voice actors, right? If you want to be a voice actor, surely you've done that by now. I sound like I'm telling you off. I don't mean to, but have a look at what they're doing with their websites and how. And mine needs work because I spread myself so thin I don't get time to spend on things. So hopefully now I'll be able to revamp it and make it look a lot better and more comprehensive than it does right now. But I guess if you're not ready for that yet, if you haven't really got much work behind you, then you need to start to think about your branding now. So that is, who are you as a voice actor? Who are you? What can you provide as a service to people who are looking for awesome voice actors? Okay, so I'd like you to stop this podcast as I've read out each question and do some notes, if that's okay. Otherwise, just do it as we go, as quickly as you possibly can. First thing, sit down and write answers to these following questions. Number one, using singular words, how would you describe your voice? Things like warm, versatile, soft, quirky, tough, brittle, fruity, gruff, honeyed, husky, resonant, penetrating. Dear. So yeah, how would you describe your voice? Write down at least three words. Number two, what two character ages are you best at performing as a voice actor and how? What two character ages are you best at performing and how? Number three, what two character types are you best at and how? What two character types are you best at and how? Four, what other character types or ages are you capable of? With example, some you can do, others you can do, just a little list of things you've been in perhaps, or things you've done in plays or at school or at college or at university or community theatre. Okay, so once you have this list, you'll have looked at some of your strengths. For example, mine, I guess my voice is warm, smooth, quirky, versatile. It's that kind of thing. I love to do character emotion as much as I can. Timing is key, I feel. And of course, all of our voices are unique. I feel that I personally, I love comedic, loopy characters, but also menace. So characters that are thought of one thing and then are actually another one. I love those characters. So old ladies, mums, and kick-ass baddies seem to be a developing speciality, as well as loopy people. Seem to get some fun loopy people. I do like loopy people. Number two. So what two character ages am I best at? I think I love to play older female characters and around my own age is 40-something, although I'm 22 inside. Number three. What two character types am I best at and how will I think mums and loopy characters comedically? So I'm thinking things like Drunk Helen from a Scottish podcast, Starla from 1994, Lizzie McCoy from Winnebago Warrior, Beth from Subjective Truth. I seem to be enjoying those character types very much. Though I would, I think, put in here that I'd like to have more dramatic roles too, more believable, real characters. But I also seem to fare well as British evil. I do think that when I do my well-spoken character, that say, for example, in The Orphans as Minister Orsham or Fredericks from Starship Iris, they are very much kick-ass. Don't mess with me. I'm British. I'm a woman. And I could damage you. That kind of character is quite fun. Number four, what other character types or ages are you capable of with examples? Well, I've done some boy roles, so like I can sound like a little boy. I guess if I play around with the character a little bit, so there's potential for boys. I did that with Beyond Shakespeare, and also there's a computer game where I'm playing a Boy Scout cat of 13. Not out yet, can't wait for that to actually happen. Again, I've said about claim the kick-ass mum or competent professional with an edge. For example, Kill a Boy or Mind Fire or Mrs. Sheffield in Oz 9. She's quite fun. So, strengths. You've kind of made some notes of those, yes? Now onto the following. Number one, what ages would you like to do but don't think you can? Number two, what character types would you like to play more of but haven't yet? Number three, what voices are you rubbish at as far as you're concerned? So here, obviously, you're pinpointing areas of either to improve on or stay away from because you perhaps don't or will never fit, depending on your attitude, your life, time, and some kind of graph you could do with time and life and improvement and yearning and wanting and all that. So I would love to be playing 20-somethings, but I feel like my voice has a certain resonance to it that doesn't work for a younger person. I'd like to do more toddler kiddie voices, but again, they're starting to sound slightly strange. I can do a toddler, but it doesn't sound right. So yeah, I could have a play with that perhaps some more, but that would take a lot of work. Number two, what character types would you like to play more of yet, but haven't? I'd love to play more older women. I feel like, where are the older women in stuff? They're not anywhere, really. Can you name more than 4 audio dramas with old women in them? bring the old woman into audio drama. No, I think there's some wonderful characters to be had yet, so I'd like to play more older ladies. Number three, what voices are you rubbish at? I think the main protagonist, younger females, I just can't do. I think I'm more at home with slightly quirky, slightly aloof, loopy or control freak characters, I suppose. Very different from my own personality. And also, you know, things in my own voice I found very hard. I've kind of done more of that in the last year or two. But when I had to do Hostile Worlds as Sarah as well, so she was called Sarah and she was my voice, that was really hard. That's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Have a listen to that if you can, it's quite fun. But yeah, I was really struggling with being my own voice in that. I'm somebody who loves to hide behind, I don't know if you noticed, accents. So practicing doing my own voice is probably something I need to do, which sounds odd, but I never really read anything in my own voice currently and always put some kind of lilt to it to escape from being me. Anyway, that's a psychological discussion for another day. So by doing that, you're pinpointing areas to either improve on or stay away from. Now, when you are making decisions as to playing your character, you're doing some things very, very quickly if you're very good on your feet developing as actor. Things like the pace of something. Yes, So right there, even me just saying the pace of something, yes, I slowed that right down. Right there, I'm being staccato in what I'm saying. You know, the pace of something can be, you're talking very quickly all the time. But remember, and this is what my students do a lot of, they read in the same kind of timbre all the time, some of them. Remember, you will have emphases on certain words or phrases or sets of words that will make room for pause or change in volume or diction or attitude or emotion, yes? So your pace of something is key to being a playful sounding actor, not somebody who's monotonous and just reading like in the same range of tone all the time and maybe just going down a little bit to the same place so that you're not becoming a robotic AI when you're performing. The rhythm of something also is very key. It's almost like there are, you know, your quick beats and your slow beats. It is like a dance of words. If you could do little, you know, tangos above things or rumbas or simple two-steps, you know, there are certain rhythms and things that will change the meaning of your piece or how your character is feeling because you are changing up those rhythms. The inflection of things, the kind of pitch change. I do this with my students as imagine this piece is a roller coaster. Yeah, and it starts off on that even keel and then you're going up, up, up that higher bit and then you go down very quickly and you twirl around and you're doing some loop-the-loops and things are getting quicker and more amazing and perhaps the rise and the falls go quicker as you're doing over some humps. It's like imagining that this whole piece is like that roller coaster. There is not one piece, I don't think, which would just be a flat piece, right, where you just go round in a circle and back on the same level. So imagine that inflection really changing and moving with however you're going to be performing. The tone is also important. So obviously somebody who is upset and who is really going through emotional turmoil isn't going to be probably talking on a major scale, are they? So thinking about the tone of a piece, and again, think musically about it. I think, you know, we know of minor songs, things that make us feel depressed. I think the song All By Myself right now is one a lot of people are thinking of or singing, probably a bit more than they did all around the house. So the kind of minor tone to something obviously is in juxtaposition to something of happiness, of excitement, of carefree, of solace. You know, all these different things require different tones. So think about how that character's tone changes throughout the piece that you're reading, depending on what's happening to them, who they're talking to, and what the situation is. Humour is really key as well. You know, if you are meant to be funny, then, you know, I could do 20 million podcasts on what I think about creating a character with humour is. But it's also about balancing out those moments of timing, of pace, of pitch, of pause, of volume, all of the things we're talking about now and how you react to that person, even just a sound. Ooh, you know, something, those were rubbish, but you know, something that your character might do in reaction to something else adds to that humour. So think about not just what's written, but the extraneous sounds of humour that might also pepper your script that you're trying to bring to life. The pathos of a piece is also key, you know, thinking about those kind of emotional hit points, those beats, the said, unsaid, the unsaid, said. That sounds very complicated and I am really generalising here, but I'm just trying to give you an overview of the kind of things you should be thinking about. Your reaction to other people is key as well. You know, just a sigh somewhere or how you respond in quickness or with pause to something someone said. You know, if someone told you some terrible news, then perhaps a pause for a short while before you actually speak or some... You know, noises before you go in are key. Don't just say the words on the script, right? Use your brain and think, what are the sounds or what are the stutters or what are the starts and stops or what are the repeats of words? What repeats of words might I try to make this sound more plausible or real or ridiculous or whatever you're meant to be doing with the piece? And saying that emotion is the underlying thing of everything, isn't it? Right now I'm feeling buoyant and happy, and I hope you can tell that from my inflection and my use of pace is quite fast and excited, and I hope my diction is clear enough for you to hear. But I am feeling my heartbeat is steady, I am buoyant, my gestures are gentle and confined within my booth here. But my emotion is such that, yeah, hopefully you can hear that I am feeling happy. Think about the character motion that you're doing. Make notes down the side. Do that Stanislavski thing of splitting things up into units and objectives, if you like. So what attitude are you saying this specific sentence in? I plead, I unite, I defy, I, you know, just like give yourselves attitudes and ways of speaking those specific emotion. Now, I've spoken a little bit about pause, and our last few are the power, the pitch, the attitude, the focus and the diction. And all of those things are key to making sure that you're delivering the best performance. Now, all of those things you need to do within a very short space of time. You just kind of compartmentalize very quickly all of the things you need to be doing, and you read the piece and you do it. Now, our brain's amazing. So those are ways in to making up a majority of the things you need to very quickly decide when you create a character. Now, in cold reading, we do make decisions very quickly on their attitude and their emotion in response to what's happening, because you have to. For example, the words, no, 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 leave me alone. Okay, try saying those words in the following emotions. Frightened.
No, no, leave me alone.
Flirty. No, no, leave me alone. Sorry, that's the best I can do. Sad.
No. 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 Leave me alone.
Or laughing. No, leave me alone. You know, so they can be done in so many different ways. I mean, we could go on and on giving you different emotions to say that, and we'd be here till Christmas 10 years away. So you can obviously say these words, all words, in many, many, many different ways over many, many, many different timings and inflections and with pauses and so on. But you can also place these voices in different parts of your mouth. You can be more or less nasal, talk out your nose, or be softer and sharper, you know, or whisper to a shout. So there are so many different ways of being versatile and mic and creating these different folks. Now, on that point, don't forget the power that your voice has and versatility that your voice has of interpretation, of meaning, of performance itself. You know, do not ever, please don't send any auditions with pretty much the same three versions of a take with maybe one change in inflection. Think about and play with the meaning of the text you've got. We just did it with emotions there, right? If we took each of those apart, we could look at the changes in pitch, the changes in pause, in volume. You can do that if you want to. Record it, play it back, listen to what you were doing, to be frightened, to be sad, to be excited, you know? Just play with the meaning of the text. So let's use a new line of dialogue. It's relevant right now. I just want to get out of here. Okay, those are the line. Now I want you to ask that as a question. It's quite hard. I just want to get out of here. Okay, generally with a question, we potentially go up, I suppose. Say it as a statement of somebody who is fervent at doing it. I just want to get out of here. Say it as somebody who's a magic trick and has been in stuck in the box for days.
I just want to get out of here.
Yeah, so you can play with that so many different ways, giving it different attitudes and emotions. What I'm trying to reiterate is that words don't always have the same beats. As in that sentence, I just want to get out of here, you could elongate the word too. So, normal conversation, I just want to get out of here. Yeah, I did a breath in after the two. I just want to get out of here. So someone is like, maybe they want to get out, maybe they don't. If you're going to put the emphasis on a different place, how does that change the meaning? So let's have a little look at that emphasis. So let's highlight each word that's a groovy part of the sentence. There's no need to do like if or to, if you like to emphasize it. So I just want to get out of here. 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 Yeah, so play with those emphasis on the different parts of sentences you get given. Don't just learn things one way and think, I've got it, done it, easy. I would record what you're going to say and listen back. Can the emphasis work more effectively by emphasizing a different word in that sentence? Things like singing those words as well to like songs. I just want to get out of here. So you're emphasizing several words, yeah? I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. Yeah, just play with different ways of saying the sentence so you aren't stuck in a rut. So if you ever get stuck and you think, oh, this sounds terrible, try singing a different beat, different rhythms, try emphasizing different words, elongating different vowels, and having a play with pause. Top tips recommended by me. So, obviously, each emphasis you do gives the meaning of the sentence a different flavour. So do play around with that emphasis when you're rehearsing to give the most appropriate meaning and attitude to that character. Now, in the episode with Thoreau Smiley, we looked at creating character a little bit. So have a little look at that if you haven't already. Give you some top tips as to ways into creating some fun voices. Let's try ages. So as a young girl or boy, try I just want to get out of here. As a boy or a girl, I just want to get out of here. 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 But I don't like it.
I do.
So a case to have a play with that. How about as a mum or dad? I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. As a grandma or grandpa.
I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here.
Let's do our Mrs. Doubtfire impression.
I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here.
So have a play with where that voice goes, where that sound comes from and goes to. And I will do some workshops on creating older voices as well online, I think. I've worked successfully with a few people to teach them ways into finding an older voice. So if you need that, it's coming soon, okay? Now let's try some accents. Let's try some Scottish, some generic Scottish. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. There you go. It's one type. Let's do some New York. Okay, I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. Okay, so a bit of New York. How about an Irish kind of character there? So, I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here.
I just want to get out of here.
Okay, so play with it in your voice. Now, let's try some fantasy character type. So a goblin. What would a goblin sound like? For me, I'm making a bigger, wider face and my body language is kind of scrunching up. So remember, voice work isn't just about creating that physically.
I just want to get out of here.
That voice would be hard to maintain because it's using their kind of constricted part of my windpipe there.
I just want to get out of here.
Okay, how about a giant character?
I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here.
So that's interesting, isn't it? Why do I open my mouth more and want to speak wider? So my voice is bigger with more presence, I presume. How about a witch?
I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here.
Oh dear. A little ant. Can you do a little ant?
I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here.
Slightly disturbing that one. So some other character types. Let's do a US mother who is exasperated. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. Let's try an Australian athlete. Just finished a race. I just want to get out of here. Can I have a shower? You know, that kind of thing. How about a Russian author who is in a conference and I just want to get out of here? I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. Lovely. But a Liverpoolian doctor who's like been inundated with people who want a coronavirus check. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. Okay. But a Devon baddie gangster. Right. We just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. And that Cockney hostage who's like been, you know, laid up for a little while and someone's held him at gunpoint at the bank. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. Please, just let me go. So have a little play with those kind of character types. Write some challenges down for yourself, like as I just did there. US mom, Australian athlete, Russian author, Liverpoolian doctor. You know, could go wild with your ideas and try them with the same sentence. Practice those accent types, those character types, and I'm sure you'll surprise yourself at the kind of range you might even have. Okay? So, essentially, what I'm saying is, challenge yourself, people. Okay, truly, just look at previous casting calls on the Fiction Podcast Weekly newsletter. Try those voices out for that. Look for new ones on Casting Call Club or Voice Acting Club or the Facebook groups on audio drama auditions or other things that people put on the Audio Drama Hub. Try out voices for them. See what happens. You don't have to send the audition. Just practice if you want. That's absolutely fine. And as I said, you'll probably be surprised at what happens if you give yourself some room for playtime. Okay, don't just go from job to job to job. Play, practice, enjoy. Enjoy playing, the art of playing. Get on Zoom, on Skype, on CleanFeed, on whatever you can utilise, Source Connect Now, and get other voice actors on. Read a play together. Contact at Beyond Shakespeare on Twitter. The wonderful Robert Crichton is doing some live read plays. I know people like Julie Hoveson are yearning to do some plays online. The Story Beast is reading online his brilliant stories in the most amazing ways on Twitch. Go listen to him. He's bloody brilliant. So set that up yourself. Do it. Just get yourself out there. Don't sit on your bum and go, I'm bored. You cannot. Seriously, you cannot be bored in these times, okay? We are in weird ones. I know that is weird, but you can utilise this time to get better as a voice actor. Now, I will be starting up some character workshops soon to try and supplement some income that I currently don't have. So if you're interested in joining that, ping me on quirkyvoices@gmail.com to reserve your place. There's only a few I'm going to do each month, and I hope to help you to create a wider range of and or a better understanding of lifting that wonderful dialogue written by some wonderful people off the page. There will be only limited places to start with, so do jump in. It'd be really, really great to hear you and help you on your journey to creating fun characters of audio joy. Well, I hope some of this has been useful. If you are doing this already, I've probably taught you to suck eggs, but if you haven't, I hope it's useful. And please let me know it's useful. I would love to hear from you. I've given your email address. But also, please do ping out this podcast on your social media accounts or ping me on @MedivaP or @SarahofGolding on Twitter. I would love to know what else you would find useful in these crazy times. So yes, thank you so much for listening. Take care and happy voice acting in these times of crazy. Take care, people. You're amazing.
Hello. My name is Cheyenne Bramwell, and I am the word wonk. What that means is I like words a lot. I like listening to them, reading them, and, most importantly, fangirling over them. That's what Word Wonk Pod is all about. Sharing my love for poetry, fiction, and everything in between. and also telling creators how awesome they are. Because they are. So are you. So thank you. There will be lots of guest narrators, writers, and lots of squeeing. Because I can't help myself. So come check us out on Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, and on our website. www.cheyennebramwell.com/word-wonk-pod. And please enjoy our amazing theme song, written by the wonderful Shem Von Schreck. And have a wonderful day.